What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over the devil and all his devices. Today, once again, we're talking about the narcissism, Jezebel's spirit, and just answering a few questions that people have that I've heard many times that have been abused by these people, and just overall questions about the narcissism. Of course, I've answered a lot of those already in this series, but there are other ones that people kind of keep bringing up. So I'm going to answer those today. And if you have more, you can add them in the comment section or email me and I could perhaps give you an answer. So first one is that people often ask that have been in long-term relationships with these people is, did they ever love me? Were they ever my friend, you know, my family member, my lover or whatever? The answer is no. Okay. But people will think to themselves, this can't be that. This is usually when they're in the grieving phase. Maybe in the denial phase, part of that grieving. These people only see people as supply, something to use. And they've seen an opportunity. He said, okay, I'm going to use that person. They're weak. They have an opening. I'm going to use that to my advantage. That's it. Now, they may say they love you, but they only love you. Their words of love mean, I'm glad that you're allowing me to use you. I get good supply from you. You allow me to take up your time and waste your time. That's what they love. They love that you allow them to use you. That's what they love. They don't value you as a person. They don't respect you. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done that to you. But the question remains, did they ever love you? And the answer is no. Parents don't love their children if they're a narcissistic parent. They only have them as extensions. Husbands and wives who are narcissistic don't love their spouse. They're just using them for resources. Bottom line is, this was an end to a means. They need something to be taken care of, to be fulfilled, and they're using the person for that. They just so happen to find a person that they can use. That's it. This is why these people can divorce quickly and just move on to somebody else, because it's all about using that person. What can I get from them? If they allow me to use them, good. If not, I'm dumping them, getting somebody else. If you had a friend, they never was your friend. They seen an opportunity. Somebody that they could use, and they said, okay, I'm about to manipulate this person, or I can devalue them, I can put them down to make myself feel better about me. Whatever they want to project onto you to make themselves feel better, that's what they've seen as an opportunity. You are not a friend to them. They pretended to be a friend. Like I said, the love bombing phase, when they start off with being nice and trying to be nice, that's all to get you invested in a relationship. They never loved you. You have to come to understanding about that, because you'll think that there's hope. You'll think that you can go back in time and maybe some things would change. All that thinking, you got to let go of all that. And this is not me being negative. It's just the reality of the situation. There are certain people in life that are broken. They decided to be in this condition, and this is how they are, and it's not going to change. You have to accept that, okay? No, they didn't love you. So once you realize that, you're going to be sad. Like I said, there's a grieving process. But once you get over that and you accept the fact that there are certain people like that, then you can move forward. But you have to accept that that's the case. These people never did. They seen you as an opportunity. They're just opportunists. They see things, oh, I can use this person. That's it. Right? Number two here is will they ever repent or change? A lot of people sit around thinking about that. Because you see yourself as a person who changes when you're corrected. Will they ever change? The answer is probably not. Usually not. From every encounter I've had with these people to this date, I haven't got a call or email or message saying I'm wrong. I've never seen that. Every time I've confronted them, even in latter times with, you know, I forgive you for your stuff and this, that, and the other, they would still act as if nothing's wrong, or this is the way they are. They cannot face their own sins and say I'm wrong and I need to change, which is a barrier to salvation. 1 John 1:9, it says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now you would say, maybe they're confessing to God. Well, if they confess to God, they're definitely going to have talking to the people who they harm and saying and apologizing. But you never see that happen. The only people I see changes is those who are right at the beginning of being born again. If they're hit with who they are, and that they would also have to once again accept the true gospel in order to even begin to look at themselves, because if you don't look at yourself, then you'll never really receive the gospel. But I read of one lady, she mentioned it, like it was on this blog, I can't remember where, she said God was dealing with her controlling And these are attributes of narcissists. You might not have been a full narcissist or whatever, but God will deal with you. If these people specifically are claiming to be children of God, he would have dealt with that. That first thing in their life, he would have dealt with that. He's going right into your childhood. He's dealing with your past and why you and the way you act and treat people. Because that's what this whole life is about. Transforming, being like Christ so that you can spend eternity with other Christ-like people in heaven. Narcissists will not spend eternity in Christ in heaven. They won't, because look how they behave on earth now. So God is trying to get their attention and say, hey, change, repent. But they're not doing that. So this is why I say, if you got this so-called narcissist who say they're a Christian or whatever, this Jezebel spirit. They don't know Jesus, because that's the first thing he would have dealt with. I mean, these people are extremely destructive. They harm everybody in their sight. So that's something God would want to deal with. It's not a small, minor thing, but they have rejected those prompts from the Holy Spirit. And so this is why, for the most part, they'll never change. And once again, their behavior gets them what they want in life to some extent. So they suffer a lot of loss, but they still get some of the things that they want in life. So they say, this is a good way of getting what I want in life. I'm not going to change. Okay. So it's not to say, you know, stop praying for them. I mean, if you want to keep praying for certain people like this, that's fine. I don't really pray for these people that much. For me, only time I pray for them is when I may feel like I want to, you know, do something to them or harm them or something like that. Then I'll stop praying. You know, I don't do that too much though, because I don't think about them too much. When I realize that's what I'm dealing with, I discard that person, stop dealing with them, and move on. I don't think too much about them. So I don't do a lot of prayer for them, because given the information I see in scripture, and we'll talk about that in the next talks, it talks about a reprobate mind. It talks about people who have been given over, who have a seared conscience, okay? And I believe these are these people. And what are you doing is wasting all your energy on people like that. Jesus prayed for the saints. He didn't even pray for the world. He put all his energy into praying for the saints, those who actually got born again. He said, I want to keep them. I want them to stay kept. Those who have accepted that they're wrong and said, okay, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Those he says he prays for. So look at Jesus' prayers. He wasn't praying for the Pharisees. He was praying for the saints, those who actually accepted God and said, I want to follow God. Those who are in Christ right now, trying their best to let go of the flesh, follow him, and do what's right in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are who he's praying for. And those who you should pray for. Pray for your friends who are in Christ, your family members who are actually in Christ. But I don't put a lot of energy into these people. They can't accept correction on a basic level. And they're just so proud and arrogant and stubborn and stuff like that. Then I don't put a lot of energy into people like that. Pray for people who are actually walking in Christ so that God will strengthen them. All right, so that's the answer to that question. Will they ever change? Will they ever repent? Usually not. Like I said, they have to have some kind of Pauline experience, you know, road to Damascus. Jesus pops up on the road and just shines a light in their face. And then they still have to accept that. A lot of them so arrogant, they'll reject Jesus right there. That's how foul they are. And once again, they've chosen to be this way. Everybody has a choice. It's not like, oh, they just so bruised from their childhood and they can't change. And this is just who they are. And they're somehow being controlled by demons. No, they're choosing to operate like this. Everybody has a choice. Everybody has a conscience. That conscience tells them right from wrong. We've all been made in the image of God. We may not be children of God because we're not born again, but we've been made in the image of God. And because of that, we have a conscience, just like God. God has he has a right and wrong, and that's in everybody. Everybody's embedded with that. They know right from wrong. So these people, they know right from wrong. So the next question is, the people ask, do they know they're hurting people? Because when you listen to some psychologists, they'll act like these people are, this is like a muscle reflex, how they operate, and they're not really thinking about it. And they're not really thinking about it, but they do know that they're hurting people. The answer is they just don't care. And yes, they know they're hurting people. They know they're doing it. They don't care because they, once again, they have no empathy. So they can see, oh, that harmed you. That really messed you up. But they don't feel anything about it. Like us, we have empathy. If I harm somebody, you're like, man, wait a minute, that ain't right, because I feel it. Because I'm normal, I'm a human being, and I have the Spirit of God. So, but with people with empathy, whether they're children of God or not, they feel what they do to other people. They can put themselves in that person's shoes and say, you know what, that wasn't right. I can't do them like that. But for these people, they know that they're harming people. They don't care. So get that out of your mind. They don't know what they're doing. Now, when you confront them, they'll usually pretend like they don't know. I didn't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. Whatever. They do know what they're doing. Everybody got a conscience. They know right from wrong. They see the actions. They see what happens after that. And for them to act like they don't, is they're just deceiving you. So don't accept that. But that's the answer to that question there. They do know that they're hurting people. Number four is that people ask the question, do they think they are normal? Does the Jezebel spirit or the narcissistic person think they're normal? The answer is no. They think they're exceptional. They think they're better than others. They think the rules don't apply to them. So aside from just being special, like, you know, I got different gifts and talents, I'm a unique person. I'm not talking about that. They think that they're better than other human beings. I'm a God amongst these other people. I'm better than everybody else. I'm unique in the sense that I deserve better treatment and the rules don't apply to me. I get to hurt people, rob them, manipulate them, steal from them, and I deserve to get away with it without any consequences. This is why you're thinking, why would they do this? Why would they? Because they actually believe that. They actually believe that they're better than other people. They're accepting that. Like I said, that's their arrogance. So yeah, do they think they're normal? No. They look in the mirror, you know, and they have that, like I said, that narrative about themselves, that fantasy that they're a superstar, that they're better than everybody else. Rules don't apply to them. And so, yeah, that's how they think. Yeah. So if you're telling me you ain't normal, how can you think that this is normal behavior? I said, of course not. I know you have boundaries, but I can overstep your boundaries. This is how they think. Number five is some people ask, how does the Ahab spirit fit into this? But the Ahab spirit is simply people who are codependent on Jezebel. And you can include the flying monkeys, people who have believed the facade of Jezebel. Okay, so they work for Jezebel. But I would say mostly it's just the codependent person. So the person that enables that Jezebel's behavior, they need the Jezebel and they keep allowing the Jezebel to do what they do. I'm not talking about the person that's being abused necessarily and they don't know any better. It's the person that has sided with the Jezebel and has accepted the abuse and just sitting in there with it and said, this is the way it's going to be. This is my place. I need this person. The problem with the Ahab spirit or this codependent person is that they have not seen this behavior as wrong. They haven't rejected it. They haven't said to themselves, this ain't right. They just put up with it and accept it. Okay, people like that, God don't like either. Yeah, they're being abused, but they're accepting it because they got a conscience too. They know that they're manipulating people. They know that they're being manipulated sometimes. They know they're being abused sometimes, but they're accepting it. So that's a defective mindset. And we all have a conscience. We know right from wrong. But yet, we're going to go ahead and deal with this anyway. You know, we're going to accept this anyway. It's the people who wake up out of this. See, we're all being deceived in this world because we grew up in a world that's ran by Satan. But it's what do we do with those deceptions once the truth is revealed to us? Do we continue in the deception or do we get out of it? And when the truth is revealed and we accept the truth, that makes us okay with God. But the people who want to stay asleep because it's comfortable or it's all they know, those people are the ones that God has a problem with because they accept the lie. And the Bible says that they will be given over to a strong delusion because they did not want the truth. So every codependent person, which is in the religious terms, is an Ahab spirit, have been told, look, you're in a bad relationship. This person is wrong and you are enabling their behavior. You are blowing their heads up with accolades, constantly praising them, knowing what that's doing to them. I had to learn to stop giving certain people praise because all they were doing was feeding their ego. See, when I realized that was wrong, I stopped doing it. A lot of men today, they continue to praise women. They keep lifting them up, pedestalizing them and stuff like that. Now, if you don't know any better, because that's how you were raised in a gynocentric society, that's one thing. But once you understand that is all it's going to do is inflate a woman's ego. And we'll talk about the difference between honoring and then inflating a woman's ego, which is what men are doing today, pedestalizing women. Then you're an enabler of a woman's narcissistic behavior. That's what a lot of men are doing today. When they go on Instagram, they like all their photos and constantly feeding that woman's narcissistic arrogance and her big old head and just keep blowing her head up. Now, Once you get to a place where you understand that that's wrong, you'll stop doing that. Stop pedestalizing women. But like I said, we live in a gynocentric society that has created a lot of narcissistic women, or women with the spirit of Jezebel, and men continue to this day to enable their behavior. So the Ahab spirit is simply a person that is a codependent or an enabler who sees the wrong but continues to be a part of it. Okay, a normal person will realize something ain't right, and once they get that information, because the Holy Spirit is talking to everybody, he comes into the world to convict men of sin. He will say, hey, you've been enabling that person. You need to stop. And it's up to them to choose whether or not they're going to stop and continue doing it. So there's married couples. You know, the guy may be an enabler. He's an Ahab spirit. And the wife is a Jezebel, a narcissistic person. His job is to stand up as a man and say, I'm no longer going to enable your bad behavior. I'm going to take charge and run the household. That's what King Ahab should have did. He should have been running his kingdom. But he gave it over to Jezebel. You read the scriptures. He wants a man's vineyard, but he's going to cry to his wife about it. Look, go and get it yourself. Like I said, enablers often are lazy sometimes. They don't want to rule. They don't want to lead. You know, and so it's easier for them to just have Jezebel do it. Or they're just used to it. They grew up with it. You know, their mother was a Jezebel, the grandmother, everybody. So they just, this is the way things are. But they know it's wrong. And when you confront them about it, they'll pretend like, nah, my wife don't run me, this, that, and the other. But they know they do, and they don't want to repent of their sins and stop the enabling of that person. So they're going to be judged for that, and they'll be thrown into hell just right along with Jezebel. So that's how the Ahab spirit fits into. That's what we call the Ahab spirit, the person that enables Jezebel. That's a part of her circle. It's usually a man. Like I said, anytime it's a husband and the wife, he's enabling her. Because a man has the power to step up and say, oh, I'm not dealing with your behavior. And then she would either have to leave him and find somebody else to do that with, or change and be a humble, submissive wife. So that's how that goes. Now, another question people have is, how could I have fallen for such a foolish person? Usually these people are not that educated. Sometimes they are. But when you think back, you're like, these people are not all that smart. They're not all that. They're not the edge. It's like, how could I have fallen for this? How could I have gotten wrapped up into somebody that was so childish and weak and pathetic? Because when you really look at them, you just look back at them. You look at this, just a childish. Even you look back at some of the deceptions. You say, why did I not see that? And you go over this. You feel like a fool, and you say to yourself, you know, how did this happen? Well, they got spirits in them. You know, spirits are old. They've been around since before the flood or whatever. That's what's in them. So they're good at knowing people's weaknesses, and then they are able to tell the narcissist or the person that's being influenced by these spirits what to do and how to act and stuff like that. So it's not so much that you're a fool. It's more so that they played on your weaknesses. People have weaknesses. All of us got weaknesses. That's why we're in Christ, to learn to be strong in certain areas. And we also have needs and wants that just will never go away. We need friendship. We need companionship. We need food, water, shelter. And these people will find out what our needs are and then dangle that in front of us and say, you can't have this unless you skip and dance for me and let me control you and stuff like that. That's how you fell for it. You didn't see it coming. I mean, they deceive you. They pretended to be your friend. They pretended to like you, to love you and all that stuff. But in actuality, they were just gaming you to control you and dominate you and devalue you and use you. So what you need to do is forgive yourself. Okay, there's a saying that goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So the shame is on them. They're the ones who played you. You didn't do anything wrong. You just had basic needs and weaknesses that they exploited. Now that you know that you got some of these weaknesses and you got some of these needs, you learn to be stronger in those areas. And I'm actually answering my next questions, but forgive yourself and learn from that. Forgive yourself and learn from how these people exploited you. All right. So don't look at, I'm a fool. You're not a fool. You got deceived. They put on a mask. You believed it, because why else would you see anything any other way? They pretended to be something. That's how it goes. We all can be fooled. They're good at deceiving people. They fool of the devil. The devil is the deceiver of the world. okay? And all his demons and all those disembodied spirits are in them. You know, you're going to get fooled. It's just learn not to get fooled in the future. You know, so forgive yourself. You're not stupid. You know, you just had some basic weaknesses that all people have and some needs and wants that were exploited. So you just learn from that. Number 7 here is, why did they get away with it? Because we never see these people go to prison. Most of the time they don't. They don't never get caught. They seem to just live their whole life doing this. And it's like, man, when is they going to get theirs? You want to see them get theirs. Well, the answer is that they're not getting away with anything. Obviously, there's a record in heaven of everything they're doing. There's a book of life and their name ain't in there. They'll be judged for everything they did. They got a conscience and God is watching all of this. God is hoping that they see the error of their ways, see all the relationships that they're destroying, and then repent of their sins and come to Him. He's hoping that when they get of a certain age, that they look at their life and look at all the relationships they destroyed. Like I said, like that older person in the nursing home where their family don't come visit them no more. That, why does this happen to me? Well, because you abuse your family so that they don't want to see you no more. God is hoping that they repent. It's like, look at your life. Look what you did. Look at your behavior, how you treat people. Don't you see this as a problem? But like I said, usually they don't change. But they're not going to get away with it. And then there are many cases where they do get caught. But because their way of abusing people is not necessarily physical. Like I said, this is all spiritual abuse for the most part. It's only when they start laying hands on people and blowing up stuff and killing people is when they are brought to justice, you know, usually caught. But this spiritual abuse is, like I said, somebody saying somebody hurt me in my spirit. It's like, well, we can't see your spirit to even talking. You know, people, we don't live on a spiritual conscious society. We're just not spiritually conscious. Everything is surface level. So you can't go to the police and say somebody spiritually abused you. They can't do nothing about it. So the only way to deal with this is to educate yourself and educate more people about spiritual abuse and what it actually looks like so that you can protect yourself. Because there's no police to look into your soul and see what they did to your soul and vice versa, you know. So that's why they get away with it, because they're operating in the spiritual, not in the physical. We tend to penalize things done in the physical in this culture rather than dealing with stuff in the spiritual. But they're going to get theirs. God is going to get a hold of them. And the way you beat them is like when, like I said, that's why I did the sermon, is how you beat them is you cut them off from their source. And if more people were aware of what narcissistic abuse or toxic people look like, then they would withdraw from them. And that person would end up being all alone and they would have to starve to death or really look at themselves and change so that they can operate in society in a healthy way instead of abusing people. But a lot of people don't know, and so it continues to happen. Another question is people have is, why did this happen to me? It's because God allows people like this in your life to show you your weaknesses and to show you that you need Him. He wants to show you how the world actually is without Him. So it's personally for you. Okay, they exploited me in this area, that area. It's showing you a weakness. That's something you got to take to God and say, I need to be strong in this area so they can't do this to me. And I'll talk about those in the future, about guarding your spirit. But a few things that they'll reveal. One is you don't understand your value. You have low self-esteem. Okay? So God is saying, hey, you don't value yourself as much as I value you. I value you on a scale of 10, you value yourself as 2. That's why you was putting up with them. Okay? He also shows you through their abuse that you don't have established barriers. So he's teaching you, you need to have some barriers. You got to say, this is how far a person can come with me. This is how much time they can have of me. And we'll talk about that in the future. It also happens just to understand that there's spiritual abuse that exists. It's a spiritual plane here that he wants you to be aware of. Everything ain't surface. Don't believe the lies that sticks and stones will break my bones, words never hurt me. No. He wants you to have a healthy spirit. He's showing you, see how they did? They harmed you, yet they never touched you. See how he's showing you that you don't have a strong barrier up to keep these people out. And then he's showing you that you can be abused on a spirit. In other words, your spirit is just as important as your physical health. You need to have spiritual health and right along with your physical health. He's trying to show you that. All right. He also exposes your need to belong. Now, everybody wants to belong to a family, but at what cost? You got to be at a place where I'm not going to take abuse just because I want to belong to this particular group, because I need to go to church, or I need to be in this marriage, or I need this job, or I want to be a part of this organization. You see? So belonging is a normal need. It's not something wrong with it. It's not a weakness. You're a human being. You're built to belong. But are you going to be strong enough to stand on your principles, keep your barriers up, value yourself, and say, I'm not going to accept abuse in exchange for belonging, right? So what God wants you to understand, he wants you to value your spirit. He wants you to value your spiritual health. He's saying your emotions, your mind, all that is just as important as your physical health, just as important as working out, eating the right foods. It's the same with your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay? So it's just as much as important. So he's saying, look, get away from toxic people. That's not healthy for you. That's not what I want for you. Another thing is you may need friendship. This is kind of with belonging and all this stuff. Are you going to disregard your spiritual health for friendship? I want a friend so bad, but I'm going to let myself get abused spiritually. He's trying to strengthen you in these areas. And the more stronger you are, the less you'll deal with certain people like this, and then you'll find people who are actually healthy, okay? He also reveals the scarcity mindset. We had this belief that this is the only person I can be with, this is the only church I can go to, this is the only job I can have, this is the only friends I can be with. And we're stuck in that mindset, the scarcity mindset. It's taught to you by the world, of course, as well. But he reveals that to you and say, you don't have that kind of, have an abundant mindset. God has an abundant mindset. There's a lot of something. There's not a few of them. So be mindful of that, that you don't have to put up with certain people when there's other friends that are healthy and that will love you and respect you and all that stuff. He also wants to reveal to you that you have erroneous religious beliefs and obligations. And that's what I had. They were fed to me by religion. Religion is not of God, really. Okay, there's a pure religion, but the rest of the 99% of other religions is just not of God. It's foolishness. And so he's trying to reveal to me deceptions. He said, see how that worked out? See, that didn't work. It didn't work for you. Exactly. See, that's not true. So don't go with that anymore. Don't believe that anymore. Discard that belief. So put up a lot of stuff in church and in life because of erroneous religious beliefs. So that's what he wants to do. This happens to us because he wants to show us errors and weaknesses in us so we can strengthen ourselves. So we have to learn from these episodes when we deal with these Jezebel spirits. You know, and hopefully this series has been eye-opening and educational for you to actually reflect on some of the relationships you had with people in the past that were toxic. And just take out narcissism, just toxic people. You ain't got to even label them that. They don't even have to fit everything. If they're toxic, they don't respect you. They don't bring value to your life. There ain't no sense of dealing with them. The last question that people have, and this is kind of like the universal question is, you know, why does God allow bad people like this to exist? Well, I just answered that question. Free will. Some people are going to choose to be self-centered and do what they want to do in life and harm everybody else in their path. God allows those people to exist to show us this is what it looks like when you don't follow me. He lets people do their own thing and say, oh, let me show you how that works out for you. That's why he allowed that. Everybody has free will. He don't control nobody. He's a good guy. He knows he's good. He knows what he's offering is good. But he says, you got free will to choose something else. And I'm going to let you choose that, make that choice. I'm going to let you make a mess of everything. And then we have to, as people, take our logic and say, okay, this is not working. That person's messed up. Why? And then he'd tell you, this is why. They don't want to repent of their sins, that they've been abused, this, that, and the other. And the way to be healed, and for you to be healed from your weaknesses that allow this Jezebel to take advantage of you, is to come to me. You need Jesus in order to be made whole and righteous and clean. So that's the whole reason for it. He lets this stuff happen so that you can come to him. There's no other way of getting fixed. You can't fix yourself. You got to go to Jesus. And he goes into your spirits and strengthens you as you say, Lord, strengthen me, fix me. All right. He shows this is all because he's trying to show you that his kingdom is the best way. Satan has been allowed to set up his kingdom on earth. And it's terrible. It's an unfair system. It's abusive. It's a mess. It doesn't work. It's not fair. In the kingdom of God, it's fair. And so he says, look, this is what it looks like without me.
with an absence of God. Won't you come over to my kingdom and join that? So that's why he allows this stuff to happen. So that's all I got for you today. Just answering some of your questions, some of the main questions people have about narcissistic people in the spirit of Jezebel. You know, I hope those things were helpful. That's a lot of the questions I kept hearing. And so I wrote them down with the answers, and hopefully those are helpful to you. Next time we'll be talking about how to guard yourself against a narcissist. He told you how to discard him and how to beat him, but you still got to stay on guard. You know, there's things you got to do in order to prevent further abuse, you know, from other narcissists that's going to come your way, because they're all out there lurking. These people, it's a lot of these people out there. They lurking around, looking to take advantage of somebody. So you got to be on guard. So that's what we're going to talk about next. So till next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.